Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. You're listening to episode 3 of On the Jumbotron, and today we have a fantastic guest joining us. We're thrilled to chat with Brandon Meyer, the Senior Associate Athletics Director for Marketing and Multimedia at the University of Nebraska. On the Jumbotron is your backstage pass to the world of game day entertainment. We delve into the planning rooms and behind-the-scenes action to bring you stories and insights from the pros who create unforgettable experiences for fans. Our mission is to encourage, highlight, and spotlight the creatives and professionals who make game days extraordinary. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and entertained with insightful knowledge, creative hacks, and hilarious stories. This is the podcast that behind-the-scenes game professionals have been waiting for. So make sure you share this and all episodes. Here's your host, Christopher Lee.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today right here on the Jumbotron. My name is Christopher Lee, and I'm excited about today's guest. Brandon Meyer is joining us from the University of Nebraska.
I'm here.
What's going on, my man?
Thanks for having me.
Good. I'm so happy that you are here. You're at Nebraska, and Nebraska is doing some phenomenal things. But before we get into the phenomenal things, I want to go back to where it all started for you. So where did you get this bug, the itch, the I need to be involved in production?
You know, I was in the right place at the right time. I got a job in high school at a local TV station, one of the smallest markets in the country. At a small market, you get to do it all. I got to do weekend sports. I got to do a lot of camera work. I did studio camera work. I cleaned the bathrooms. I did everything everything I could there. And, part of our job was to come to Nebraska here and cover the games. So I got a chance to kind of see what they were doing here and meet some of the early pioneers of the Jumbotron and big screen industry, and quickly figured out, like, oh my gosh, this is something I really want to, really want to do in the future. So that's kind of where it all started. Went to school here at Nebraska, got a job in athletics in Husker Vision, which was a new department at the time. They just put in the very first big screens in college athletics. And really got to learn from a few of the early innovators of this field. So,
and that innovator is, his name is Jeff Schmall. And what a guy. What a guy. Let's take that little rabbit trail right there, because you brought it up. I was going to go there, but I didn't know we were going to go there this soon. He is almost like the grandfather of game day production. Is that an accurate title, you think?
Yeah, he's definitely one of the early pioneers of in stadium production and running a big screen. Jeff had a very similar background to me. He was at a local. He was the sports director at a local station, and kind of made this leap from television news over to athletics, and and really embraced it. Cared a lot about content, knew a lot about content, and used a lot of his skills that he had. He was an All-American tennis player at Nebraska. So he was a student athlete and, knew a lot about cameras and media and editing and storytelling from his days at 10-11, and made the transition to college athletics, because at the time there wasn't anyone nationwide. I think at the time maybe the Yankees and the Dodgers had big screens, and it was something that was part of a professional team's repertoire at the time. And he kind of sort of had to invent the position as he went, and build it as he saw fit.
That's remarkable. So were you there before the video board, or you saw it come up, or was the video board already there?
I was there a year after it was installed. So probably Husker Vision's second year of existence is when I began working there. So
okay. So when I was working at Virginia Tech, I saw our big screen, our Jumbotron put up, and I know the complications with all of that. So being only a year in, what some of the things that y'all have to go through and learning curve?
My gosh, I'll sound like a dinosaur if I begin talking about that. But there was no LEDs. The screens were CRT, which was kind of a really early technology where the pixels are not as big as a pencil tip, but they're about as big as a quarter. And the modules were, about 2.5 inches by 2.5 inches. When I started, there was no nonlinear editing. We got our Avid system the next year. So I learned doing A roll, B roll edits on M2 and Beta machines and, just kind of learned the hard way on doing some of that stuff. We weren't like splicing film. We were state of the art at the time, but again, really learned all of the basics of video production, from lighting to shooting to lenses and different videotape formats and all that. So it was a different world. You had a big deck on one shoulder. It connected to your camera on a big umbilical cord that always had like 50 pins inside that they would always break. So every once in a while I get out of bed and I still feel those 3/4 inch and M2 machines that I carried around 20 years ago.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, I had to do some AV editing. I remember the big Beta decks. I remember all that stuff. And my shoulder. Yeah, I still feel all that.
These guys today got it good, man. These things are they're 100 times more powerful and they only weigh a few pounds.
And they're so light.
They are.
And then people still complain. I'm like, you don't know. You have no idea of what it used to be like. So just working with Jeff and learning from him and going into game day production, how did y'all prepare for the fans?
Jeff had two mottos. One's entertain, inform, inspire. He said everything we create has to sort of do one of those things. And all of those things are important. Like, there are some videos and some things that need to entertain. There are some things that need to inform and deliver statistics and give folks more stats. And, there are other things that need to inspire fans to get out of their seat and get loud. The other thing, that, and I think it's so true in today's world where our creatives are they're working on so many different platforms from phones to internet to social media to big screens. They're creating content in 100 different canvases. But Jeff said content is king. Like, it doesn't matter where it's going to air, but good content will always win out. And I took that, from Jeff, and he said, sometimes it's going to air on a crappy little screen and sometimes it's going to air on a big screen in the stadium. But he's like, if it's good content, it's going to appeal to fans.
And that's so true. Content, it's something that, like, another quote of his was, always make it interesting and give fans a reason to applaud. That line right there is so important to understand, that you are creating for the fans. As an editor, as a producer, I know that I get heavily involved in making my stuff, but then I have to remember, it's not just for me. It's for the behinds that are going to be in the seats. It's for that person that is coming to the game for the first time, that's never been to a game before. It's also for the season ticket holder who has been here, who wants to complain about things. It's all about them. Is that something that you stand true to today?
For sure. And that's what's different about creating content on these different platforms. You know, a lot of times the same video you put out on social media, you can't put it out in venue, because there will be a loud roar and they're going to need a second or a second and a half, you know, to catch what's next. It's something I preach when I review different pieces of content, like, oh, that's a really good line, but you got to let it breathe because the crowd's going to go crazy and then they're going to come back. And like, if you go too quickly on to the next thing, they're going to miss it. The other thing is just using graphics. Like a lot of times, you know, we have 85,000 people who attend our games. Like I bet over half of them don't exactly hear exactly what's said. So we try to, you know, enhance what those videos are with graphics. And so I always call it like, you got to fancy closed caption it so that people understand what that line he said was. And so, no, it's a different medium. For sure, when you adapt or create content for a stadium. So, and Jeff understood that, and Jeff planned for it and studied it, really. I mean, you know, he would sit out there and kind of study, like, this is how they react to that.
What traditions have y'all kept from his day?
Well, the big one is
This conversation with Brandon Meyer continues after this short break from our sponsor.
Ever wonder how those fans on the Jumbotron always look camera ready? It's all thanks to Fan Beauty Supply. From long-lasting lipsticks to sweat-proof foundations, Glam Fan has everything you need to stay flawless from the tailgate to the final whistle. Visit glamfanbeauty.com. and use code JUMBO for 20% off your first purchase. Fan Beauty Supply, because looking good is part of the game.
Want to elevate your brand? Join us as a sponsor and shine bright on the podcast. Inform, entertain, inspire. Contact us today to become a sponsor at otjpodcastbooking@gmail.com. That's the letters otjpodcastbooking@gmail.com.
Now let's get back to the conversation. And thanks for joining us on the Jumbotron podcast.
What traditions have y'all kept from his day?
Well, the big one is the tunnel walk, the team entrance. That was sort of Jeff's vision from the beginning, was to create this video that would reveal the team walking down the tunnel. And the music that the team still walks out to is the music Jeff chose long ago, back in 1994. It's still the Cirrus music. And so, you know, that's probably the biggest tradition, that stayed true here at Nebraska. I think the other one is less content. It's more student based. Jeff hired a lot of students. I was fortunate to be one of those students that was hired and learned from them. And Husker Vision still to this day leans on probably, they've got about 50 right now over there that help them out. And we couldn't do anything that we're doing without their help, without their creativity, without their innovation, and without their hard work. And that's a tradition that I hope stays here at the university for years to come. They make a big deal of a student of the year. They really honor and celebrate those. And what's really cool to see is some of those kids are having scholarships that are in Jeff's honor. And Shot Clean is now doing a scholarship. He took over the department after Jeff left. And it's really neat to see, those guys sort of celebrate and honor the great student program that has put so many professionals like myself out into the sports world.
So being a student and now being the person where Jeff was sitting and now where you're sitting, I mean, does that at times blow your mind?
Um, I just think it gives me a unique perspective there's two ways to think about students. One, they're not good enough to do, what we need them to do. And a lot of folks I've come across a lot of the people that say that. They're like, yeah, this student can't do this. Like, we need to hire an outside company, or we need to bring in freelance professionals. Or there's some that are like, that sort of embrace it and go, oh no, students have the passion, they have the energy, they have the creativity and the drive to do great work. We're going to let them do that. I would say at the Houston Rockets, like, I wanted to get more of a student program going, and professional sports are a little different. Like, you're not sitting on a campus surrounded by 150 kids that's their major and this is what they wanted to go into. It was a little different. I would say one constant though is just teamwork. Like, this industry, you can't do much by yourself, to be honest with you. I mean, it's about, coordinating and collaborating, and it's about working with a team. And that's what I do right now more than anything, is just try to wrangle all of our content creators and get them to collaborate, get them to share content, to share ideas, make sure there's not duplication of effort, try to build systems so that they can easily share content. And we've got like 50 people that hold a camera at any given time here working at Nebraska, making sure that they're all going the right way and, doing the right thing is a big part of my job right now.
And then you have 50 plus ideas from creators who are using their phones are almost like their jumbotrons, and that, they're on there, they're being creative, they're using and searching TikTok, or they're searching other forms of media to find these things. What sort of ideas are they bringing to Nebraska, to you, to be put on the jumbotron?
I think what they're doing is using those techniques and using those things that they see on TikTok to sort of adapt it to different things we're doing here. I mean, to be honest, yeah, they're constantly bringing us ideas. I would say very trendy ideas, like, hey, this is a trend I saw on TikTok. What if we got two men's basketball players or women's basketball players to do this, and then we create some big screen content with it? More than anything, that's it. I think it's just good for new ideas. They're constantly, heck, sometimes I feel like TikTok's now probably old and they're on to a new platform that they're out there grabbing ideas. So
what is the best idea that a student has brought to you?
That's a good question. The best idea that a student has brought to me.
The answer is coming up after this short break. But for now, check out this in case you missed it. Replay brought to you by Fun 360 Cam.
It's an OTJ replay.
Brought to you by Fun 360 Cam.
Jeff had two mottos. One's entertain, inform, inspire. He said everything we create has to sort of do one of those things. And all of those things are important. Like, there are some videos and some things that need to entertain. There are some things that need to inform and deliver statistics and give folks more stats. And, there are other things that need to inspire fans to get out of their seat and get loud. The other thing, that, and I think it's so true in today's world where our creatives are, they're working on so many different platforms from phones to internet to social media to big screens. They're creating content in 100 different canvases. But Jeff said content is king. Like, it doesn't matter where it's going to air, but good content will always win out. And I always say, I took that, you know, from Jeff, and he said, sometimes it's going to air on a crappy little screen, and sometimes it's going to air on a big screen in the stadium. But he's like, if it's good content, it's going to appeal to fans.
In case you missed it,
brought to you by Fun 360 Cam. Smile, spin, share.
Now, let's get back to the podcast.
When I was at Oklahoma, a student brought some ideas on a women's gymnastics intro video. And like, it was for women's gymnastics. And we were kind of like, man, okay, like, let your creativity soar and use all these techniques and cold sparks. And there were some things I hadn't even heard of before. Right. And the video turned out amazing. And, you know, it's kind of one of those that I look back and go, you know, wow, what a great idea. You took a chance and it really, really paid off. So, but there was like some glow in the dark paint used and all kinds of just kind of wild stuff. And I was like, oh man, this is not going to work. But no, it turned out to be one of the best videos we'd done that year. And I think won a bunch of idea awards.
I remember the smoke bomb era.
Yeah.
Where everything was a color smoke bomb.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you remember that? Did y'all do anything like that?
We did. Yep. That was kind of on that same path.
And then just things got so messy with the camera, and you had to be, you know, careful about where you release the smoke bombs, and, mm-hmm. you know, facilities, they got upset with us. You're messing up the field, you're messing up the court. But I'm like, but this shot is going to be so cool.
Yeah. Heck, just the other day, you know, someone said, why don't we do a drone fly through of your new facility? You know, like, here's some ideas. Like, you know, I don't know if that was completely student led, but it's like, you know, yeah, just getting different perspective is great. And we did one, and I think it has more views than any video we've put out this entire year. But a continuous fly through of our entire new Osborne Athletic complex. So
those videos are pretty hot right now. Continuous fly through, and whoever's driving those drones, man, they are good.
It's one thing I just love about the industry. Like, I'm at a level where I'm sort of overseeing creatives, but yet, like, I just love that you can't ever master this. Like, you know, every 6 months, new technology comes out, new cameras come out. They're now talking 6K, and they're smaller, they're lighter. Their point of view, they can fly on a drone. Like, you know, you can't ever just sit back and go like, I've mastered this. Like, the industry will pass you by, you know, so quick. So, I love, watching our creative guys, push the limits, and like, I cringe, but yet I smile every time they come to me and they say, hey, we need some extra money. We've got this idea. I'm like, you know, but I get it. Like, that's what it takes.
That's one thing that you all at Nebraska are good at, is pioneering things. And recently, Volleyball Day. I mean, that was a huge, huge success. Let's talk about that and the planning and, you know, the outcome from that.
Oh, man, it was.
Only the great outdoors can accommodate a celebration this big. Women's sports simply has never experienced any number of fans above 91,700 in the history of the planet.
Now it's competing in front of 90,000 people at Memorial Stadium. It is an amazing story.
Point Husker!
Goosebumps. It was a great event. You know, I thought it was a crazy idea at first, but I'm like, man, I'm into crazy ideas. I had no idea that we would get 92,000 people to attend a volleyball event. I think my prediction was like 40 or 50. And keep in mind, like, the all-time record was 18 something at the time. So I'm like 40, like we're going to double the record. Like that's a big number. But it was just all ever the stars aligned on everything on the project, to be honest with you, from the announcement and the president and AD and the governor sort of challenging fans. The week we started off, the football team was away, you know, everything aligned, the weather. If we'd had the event a week before or a week after, it wouldn't have happened. A week before would have been too hot. It was 100 degrees. And the week after, it was raining. But the stars aligned. We got a beautiful night. The ticket was affordable. You know, volleyball is huge here in Nebraska. The popularity is big. And there's just a lot of people who can't get a ticket. So this was that opportunity. You know, we planned to do sort of an in-stage show, and do a concert afterwards. And there was even just, complications with that. The, NCAA said, you know, like, well, you can't announce the concert then, or then you wouldn't hold the record. So we, you know, we sort of put our concert plans on hold and until we went on sale and, you know, 24 hours into the on sale, we had to open up the south end zone and, because we needed more seats. So it was a crazy event. You know, I've never been a part of anything like it. There was a magical, special feeling in the building that night. It was like you were a part of a world record that you're only going to get to be a part of at some point. I've never felt like that at any other event. There were people crying. It was just, it was special. So, I just, I'm fortunate that I got to be a part of it. You know, I got to learn from it. It's cool. Also, my boss at the time, I said, like, what's our budget? And he was like, you know, we really don't have a budget. So I said, you mean we can do drones and fireworks and like whatever I can come up with, we can throw at this. And he said, sure. So that's fun for me as well. Like we pulled out everything we could to make that event special. So
was that the first drone show? That wasn't the first drone show that you guys had done, right?
It was our first time ever doing anything with drones here in Nebraska. So, yeah. And even that aligned, like 6 months before that, a company had come to us that is just right up the road and said, hey, we're starting this drone company and we want to test it out. But I'll tell you, it's a tribute to our fans. Our fans are awesome. They came out, they were loud. They didn't complain that they may have had a bad seat for volleyball. They just wanted to be part, you know, of this special night. It was magical.
What special content did y'all have on the Jumbotron that night?
You know, Tyler Rice, who always works, he works in our Husker Vision department, kind of does a lot with volleyball, did an awesome, you know, kind of tunnel walk video for the girls. So that was part of like, hey, we want to incorporate the football tunnel walk into volleyball day. There was just a lot of sort of celebratory historical type videos that night. And then after the event, we had a whole light show. We had a drone show. We had a fireworks show that led into our concert. It was probably 6 minutes long. So, there was all kinds of really good video content and then, you know, all kinds of content to help celebrate that, you know, that milestone. We really tried to, it was 5 o'clock the night before the event when I said like, look, that's our deadline to get the drone folks, the actual number, of tickets that were sold. So, it was cool to get that from our team, get that to the drone folks. They programmed it. They sort of flew them up in the sky and did the 92003 with the drones. It was a world record for a women's sporting event at the time. So, and I believe obviously still holds the world record.
So let's get into a little bit of the rehearsals, because you mentioned that and the structure that you guys have to do for game day preparation. Let's talk about that for a little while.
I'm a big rehearsal guy. I probably learned that in the NBA. You know, every game, if it's a 7 o'clock game, we rehearse at 4 o'clock with everyone on the team, from cheerleaders to mascots to video board operators to audio operators.
So it's just not call time at four. That's rehearsal at four.
That's rehearse. Yeah. We rehearse from about 4:30 to five. But I, you know, it's, you're a part of a show, you know, and a lot of times there's so many different moving parts and elements that, that you got to rehearse it and you got to try it, you got to tweak it. And then I also think it's just really important in this day and age to let other people's eyeballs see things. We used to have back in the day, we had like a Friday meeting where we watched every piece of content in the Husker Vision studio. Now we kind of do that on the Dropbox Zoom type deal platform where people can watch it all and give feedback. But and then again, Friday at 1 o'clock here, we'll go up and watch every single element and play it back and monitor audio levels. And then we'll do it again tomorrow before our Rutgers game. We'll do it again in the morning and run through all of the content. So, no, I mean, man, rehearsing is important. It's key. We've got skydivers in tomorrow. We're rehearsing with them here at noon today. So,
but they won't actually. Are they going to rehearse jumping?
They'll do a practice jump. Yep. They'll all do a practice jump, figure out exactly where they want to land, how they want to hit the ground, who's going to carry what flag. So, no, man, I'm a big practice makes perfect. Like, rehearse it. And I also don't like to playback anything that I get sort of last minute either. You know, I'm like, I want to see it on the big screen. I want to hear it. I want to make sure the playback is fine. Once or twice before we ever run it in our venues.
And that's why you guys are so successful at Nebraska, because just like with Jeff, attention to detail. You want to know how things are going to be. You want to know how it's going to sound in the arena. You want to know how it's going to sound in Memorial Stadium. You want to know. So you're not leaving anything up to chance. Those that don't rehearse, those that don't practice, you're leaving yourself open to have disaster. Virginia Tech has a mantra called a one-day vacation, and that's what they want to do with their fans that come in. They want to have them relaxed. They want to have them, you know, enjoy the game, and they also want them to be entertained. And it's just, if you don't rehearse, if you don't practice, if you don't know that this video is going to cut out at this point, and then the cheerleaders need to do what they need to do, you're going to have downtime, and you don't want to have downtime at a game, especially if the football team is needing their fans to be, you know, loud and proud. You don't want to have downtime.
So true. By the way, Virginia Tech is on one of my bucket lists that I've yet to see a game there. So
you got to get to Lansing.
I've got a good friend, Brandon Hall, who just went back to Virginia Tech, so I'm going to lean on him one of these days. But that's one of the parts of my job that I love, is just going around and seeing what everybody else does and seeing how they do it and stealing their ideas as well, right?
That's right. I mean, I don't know if it's stealing or if it's like, it's what was it? The ripoff. What was that? Rad ripoff and duplicate.
Ripoff and duplicate. Yeah. R&D.
You're not really stealing. You're just ripping off and duplicating.
That's right.
How's it been working with the new coach, Matt Rhule?
It's been great. I mean, Matt cares about every piece of his program, from recruiting to nutrition to what music is being played and how we're getting the crowd going. We had a meeting with Matt this summer, and Matt was like, "Hey, you guys can impact our game. Here's what I'd like to see." And we had really good dialogue about music and tempo and videos and timing and all that. So, man, to have a head coach, it's like engaged in what we're doing and, and gives us constant feedback on what we're doing has been awesome. And Matt's the first one to say, "Man, I love that." Or say, "Hey, that didn't hit. Let's try something different." So that, to be honest with you, that's what makes our jobs that's what fuels us. That's what makes our job so much fun is, kind of seeing their reaction to different things. So that's special for not only me, but our entire crew to know that that Matt's engaged and is on our team.
That's great to have him on your team. I mean, are your kids, Brady and Bailey, are they on the team, or are they criticizing, what dad is doing, or "Dad, you could have done this better," or how are they judgmental? Because I know my kids are judgmental on things that I do.
My wife, my kids, all of them, man, they give me feedback all the time. So, but I love that they get to attend the games. We did a light show. We did a drone show, and my family sits in their seats where they couldn't see the drone show. It was kind of behind them. And so they were like, "Man, this stinks. Like, we want to see the drone show, Dad." So the other day I said, "Well, all right, we'll come down to this spot at this time so you guys can get the full effect." But I talk about different ideas with them all the time. Like, I have a freshman in high school, and you talk about TikTok and trendy. I'm like, "Hey, what do you think of this idea?" So we started kind of a video this year with Will Compton, where Will comes on right before kickoff and sort of does a WWE style hype video. And I kind of threw that idea by my son and was like, he was like, "Yeah, I think that'd be great, Dad. And here, but try this." So he usually pushes the limit a lot more than I'm comfortable with. But no, man, it's good having their feedback, and it makes me happy to see that they're engaged in what Dad's doing and give me music ideas and keep me young. So
let's talk about the one idea that didn't work. Because everybody has those times where they play a video or they will have an idea and they think it's going to work in their arena stadium and it doesn't. Do y'all have a story like that?
We've got many videos that just probably never worked. But what I think is probably more important is just the timing of where those videos played. That's what I've learned over the years. Like, if the video is bad, I'm not going to run it. But if the video plays at the wrong time, then the video may not be bad, but the video, probably didn't go over as well as we wanted to. And so timing is just critical. We try to keep some of our lighter videos, feel like there's a good menu for big screen production. Like, you got to have an interactive feature, and you got to have sort of a good music video. You got to have a shuffle or some sort of game that your fans can play along with. And you got to have some hype videos. But if it's late in the game in the fourth quarter and I'm running a shuffle, shuffle's probably not going to go over that well, right? So a lot of them just come down to execution, man. A lot of the videos that are very dialogue heavy and that are maybe hard for people to understand they don't go over that well. If it's two student athletes and There's no caption. There's no text on what they're saying back and forth. Then, you know, it'll get a golf clap. And that's I love that about this industry. Like, we don't have to wait for YouTube views in order to see, like, did this video perform well, right? Or did people like it? Did they comment? Like, you know instantly when you play something if it's good or bad.
That is so true, especially with, you know, 92,000 people right there looking at the video. You know if it's good or bad.
Yep,
cause for sure. Either you're going to get a big roar or you're going to get that.
I've been doing this so long. I'm experienced enough to know, man, is this is this a turd? If it is, like, I can spot them pretty easily and go, okay, like, do we have to play this? If we do, then we're moving it to a spot where it won't impact our game, our fans.
And even like the heartwarming videos, you have to plan those.
Definitely.
Just right. Because if the mood is up and you play something like that, you know, if it's like, you know, unfortunate, somebody's going through some type of medical illness or whatever, that can kill the mood in the stadium.
Totally.
So you have to realize where, you know, you mentioned placement, where that video needs to be, you know, where things are going to, you know, lift up and keep the momentum going.
100%. And I would say if there's probably one thing at Nebraska we've done that we could do more is place those in different spots. Like we have a lot of presentations and we have a lot of honor, you know, that we honor people during the game. And you're right. Sometimes they can take the wind out of the crowd. And so now the placement, you're right, is so important.
You mentioned earlier the light show that you all do.
Yeah.
Take me through that. I'll watch some videos on there, and the LEDs, the lights, and how everything goes red. It's awesome. How did that come about?
First, I want to give credit where credit's due. There's a guy on the Husker Vision staff, Kevin Ragusi, who has learned to program our stadium lights. So first and foremost, like, that's without him being able to write code in order to control each individual Musco LED light in the stadium, we can't do that. So it starts with Kevin.
We're gonna stop right now, and we're just gonna do this for Kevin.
Yes, Kevin, for sure.
All right, thank you, Kevin. All right, you can continue.
He's amazing, and he does it quick too. Like, he can do this within a day or 2 days. But Kevin programs the lights. And then we just add all of these layers, you know, to that. You pick the music, kind of pick a video or a track. Kevin programs it to that. We share that with our pyro guys on the field that do the light towers. We share that with Spirit, say, how can you get involved? Like, you know, we share it with our show light guys who may bring in spotlights. We share it with our drone guys. They sort of program, you know, to that as well. And then obviously all of the LED boards in the stadium, we're fortunate. We have a ton of them. And when you do different colors on them, they give off some cool light. Our pyro guys do a really good job of shooting up sort of ends and, you know, off of our scoreboard. So a total team effort for our light show. But again, like we talked about earlier, rehearsing, sharing, you know, your vision, your sort of music, your track, and then changing it up all the time, man. Like, sitting down with our team saying, okay, like, this is the 400 sellout. Like, how do we make this one better than the last one? But yet, how do we have a little piece of Thunderstruck? Because, you know, that's become really popular with our fans. So I love, I'm sure my team doesn't love it, but I love getting in there and throwing out crazy ideas for our fourth quarter light show. And then kind of just love watching our fans react.
Well, so, that's what it's all about. It's about experimenting.
Yeah.
It's about being inspired. And it's also about, you know, just taking a chance.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what production is all about. I mean, it's all about the almost like a call and response. You know, if I put this out here, let me see how you're going to respond back to it. And I mean, and that's why I love production. That's why I love all things video production with, you know, from the Jumbotron all the way down to the field, all the way down to, you know, these things right here, which are little Jumbotrons. I mean, and you mentioned earlier, like every 6 months there's going to be something new. So it's always pushing the envelope of what we can do and what we can create and what we can become.
Yeah. My staff brought me back these like bracelets from a Taylor Swift concert. Right. And they're like, let's do this. Like that's another element. That's a new element.
I saw one of those at a presidential rally. I went to a concert.
That's so cool.
I went to a concert recently and I saw the bracelet and put it on, and then it just started going off. It scared me for half a second. You're always thinking and pushing the envelope, and then with the drone shows and what they're doing. I mean, I can, it's amazing. My mind kind of explodes at times with what is going to happen next. I mean, with AI, with AR, VR. I mean, are y'all experiencing any of that right now?
Little bit. I'm working on an idea I don't want to share yet, but I'm working on something that I'm going to test. What's great about the university is I can test it in some of our smaller Olympic sports, and we're going to test it. And if it goes well, we'll definitely adapt it to football. So you asked me earlier something. You said, like, what missed? You know, we last year spent $40,000 and brought in lasers. Like, you know, and I'll be honest with you, like they sort of missed. Like you need smoke and you need the atmosphere in order to really make the lasers show up. But at least I know now. So, you know, we did some specific designs out on the football field during the light show. So we're always experimenting with things. Sometimes they hit, sometimes they miss. Sometimes you need to adapt them a little bit. But
where y'all projecting on the field?
Doing some laser projecting on the field. We did it last year, and that worked out. But some of the other lasers we put up all along every 10 yards along the right in front of the fans, and they went up and. It was a very concert idea. It didn't show up that well. So it needed more like smoke, right? You know, and I'm like, well, if I fill the entire bowl with smoke and then they come out of the TV break, then I'm going to be in trouble.
Right.
So,
you're right. How do you get rid of that smoke once you just put it in to do something real cool on the floor? How do you get it out real fast?
Yep.
That'd be challenging, but you guys are going to figure it out. I'm pretty sure of that.
We'll try anything once.
you've been to Idea Conference, so it's like I've been to the Idea Conference. How has that enriched your perception of your job and what you do?
Man, it's just an amazing community of really good people who care about the industry and care about each other. Help each other and build each other up, share ideas with each other. And really, man, a rising tide, rises all boats. Like, I've watched everyone that attends IDEA I think I went to my first IDEA conference in 1998, but I've watched just this industry grow and evolve and I love it. It's so much fun to, I had a boss in Houston say, like, what is this idea boondoggle you're going on? And he challenged me. He's like, write a page review of what you learned. And I was like, oh, I like that. Like, and I go, trust me, I'll have no problem writing a page about what I learned at the IDEA conference. Because like we just talked about, there's, you know, this industry is always evolving, and even on the non the engineering type side, like we're now into IP routers and IP video systems, and you know, things are changing quickly. And you know, I want to be knowledgeable and know what's going on in the industry in order to serve the folks that report to me and the departments that report to me in the best way. So, no, man, idea is great, but more than anything, it's great connecting with friends and learning from them and networking with them. There's some of the guys there that I met are the reason that I'm sitting here right now. I went to Houston, and I was fresh out of college. I didn't know anything. And I met Ed at Miami Heat. I met Sergio and the Bulls, and I started like pounding them with questions. And they've been a wealth of knowledge for me and helped me through every little hurdle that I've had. So, and I wouldn't have met them without IDEA.
Yeah. Every conference that I've gone to, I've always come back with more fire, more inspiration, and just more knowledge and business cards and contacts from different people, you know, to and also challenging myself to take the information back to where I was and to make things better. And that whole conference is just awesome for that.
I love the competitiveness as well. Like, I want to compete for the best big screen. I want to win the GMA, you know, like I told my guys the other day, like, I'm tired of Auburn winning every year. Like, let's step up our game. Like, we, you know, we have good people. We have good ideas. Like, let's elevate. The problem is, like, every school is elevating, and it's very competitive, but I love that. I love that about the conference.
It's very competitive. And I mean, and yeah, Auburn does win a lot. I think the Miami Heat win a lot. I'm trying to think of who else.
The Houston Rockets win a lot. Yeah. Some of the hockey stuff is awesome. I love hockey because there's like so much time in between, you know, intermissions there to do cool things. And I love IDEA. I think this year is in Boston, and I've personally never been to Boston, so I'm really looking forward to going there.
Brandon, I just appreciate your time. I appreciate you putting me on your schedule to be able to talk to me about game day production, to talk to me about how you structure things and how you go about building teams and the importance of using students and not always, you know, professionals, because those students will become the professionals just like yourself.
Man, it's my pleasure. Thanks for doing this. It's going to be fun to follow some of these podcasts. So
it is. And I mean, the idea of On the Jumbotron just came to me one day. And I mean, I was doing a gig at a local school, and I just kept people just react to seeing themselves on the Jumbotron, and I was like, but they have no idea the behind the scenes of what it takes. And I was like, I understand the time, the dedication, the hours, the, you know, the creativity that you need to do this and to always keep it fresh. And then the other cool thing about it is we get to represent our school. We get to represent the places where we got our pieces of paper, our diploma, our degrees, mm-hmm. our whatever. We get to represent them and tell the story. That is the other thing. We're telling a story in real time that's bringing a legacy to what we're doing. We're documenting things, and we're documenting the teams and everything. I mean, the drone show will be talked about for years. Volleyball day will be talked about for years. And that's what it's all about. It's about educating, creating, entertaining, and setting memories for people that they can go back and draw from. They may remember a score, they may remember a drive, but they're also going to remember them seeing themselves on the Jumbotron.
They walk away with those memories more than they do the game. I always have parents tell me, like, they their son or daughter talks about being held up for the Simba cam more than they or seeing the mascot more than they did the winning touchdown. And those are cool.
Well, again, my friend, I thank you for your time. I thank you for being on this podcast. And keep being creative. Keep being pioneering. I cannot wait for the idea that you didn't tell me. I thought we had a scoop. But I cannot wait to see what's going to happen, because when the Jones show went up, I mean, even Travis Hunter was talking about it.
And Nebraska's a good team, and they beat us fair and square, and we just got to come out and do better. We got to play Colorado football, and that's not Colorado football.
No discredit to the team. Good team. They play a good ball. But I want to give more credit to their fan base and the way they got their stadium set up. They give you hell from the time you step foot out your locker room to the time you get to the field.
That environment was top 10.
Yeah, I got to give it to them.
The little light show in the fourth quarter, that was cool, too. I ain't even going to lie. That was a good little show, boy. That fans was loud on third down when you break the huddle, when you get in the huddle. I can't even think to myself how loud it was. Yeah, shout out to Nebraska.
That was fun. That was really cool. I was like, man, Coach Prime is watching the drones. So that was good. That was one of my top 10 moments. Just watching him. I'm like, man, he's not coaching. He's just looking around, enjoying it. So that
he's
was
like,
cool.
Why didn't I think of the drones? Why didn't I get drones down in Colorado? But yeah, you guys are just excellent at what you're doing.
Thank you, man. We got a great team here. We really do. It's not me. I just try to keep it all going in one direction. But we got an awesome team here, and it's fun.
Maybe we can do a part two one day where we're sitting and talking to the team.
Let's do it.
The people that, you know, are being creative and pulling everything together.
We have so many good creatives and good people here that you should do a little Zoom call with four or five of them. And they know a lot more than I do.
We'll set that up. Definitely set that up. But again, thank you guys for being on the podcast. We'll talk to you another time.
See you, man.
Thanks for watching another episode of On the Jumbotron Podcast with host Christopher Lee. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at On the Jumbotron Podcast. On YouTube, follow it On the Jumbotron. This podcast is produced by Great Shot Productions. Opening and break music is produced by DJ LLA. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, email us at otjpodcastbooking@gmail.com. Until next time, stay creative and humble, and always entertain, inform, and inspire.